Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, somebody shout, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you can. Praise God. I like when you can feel faith in the room. Jesus came to a house one time and he said he saw that faith was in the room. Faith was there. And God is pleased when people will trust him and believe him, especially in the face of opposition. So there's faith in this room. Miracles can happen. Amen. And they have happened. Praise God. We want to thank God for giving us his tithes so that we could be faithful to bring it today and bring it and deposit it in this place of worship, one of his many throughout the world. So God, we just thank you for providing for us. And we give out of obedience. We return the tithe back to you. It's yours. Thank you, God. Thank you for trusting us to do that. We bless you and thank you for it. Those of you, if you're a first-time visitor, don't feel any obligation that you need to give anything. We're just glad to have you. You're our gift, and we appreciate you. If you want to give, you can feel free to give, and those are the various ways to do so. We're going to start Wednesday night services on August the 4th. It'll be a live service. Yeehaw! And we're going to do a series, a video series called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Next week, next Sunday, there'll be books in the back that you'll want to have this book. It's really a fantastic book about forgiveness. And if you don't think you have forgiveness issues that you need to deal with, then come and find out. That's all I can say. We all have some areas there we need forgiveness with. Oh, it's so good as I look back and see Joe and Doretha Strickland back there. God bless you. What a happy day. Amen. You pressed on through by faith. God bless you. We're glad that you're here. I'd like to know by just a show of hands right now, about how many people do you think we're going to attend this class on Wednesday nights starting at 6:30, Wednesday night starting August 4th. It'll be about a six-week class. Would you raise your hands, men and women? Okay, good. We need to get an idea. We're thinking about doing this in the fellowship hall in the back so we can have a little closer fellowship, and we have some tables and things set up there, and we'll do the class there on Wednesday night. So I need to know of that. Okay, I'll keep asking throughout the week. Okay, what, honey?
Yeah, it would be good. Paula, there is a sign-up out there? Oh, wonderful. Yeah, if you'll sign up out there on the desk out there, that'd be great, because that way I'll at least have an idea of how many books to order. But I also want you to know, this Wednesday, we're continuing the Ladies' Bible Study. It's not a certain series. We're going through some scripture right now where God is showing... showing some things, and all. I just want all the ladies who are going to come to read Matthew 15 to 1 through 28, because that is what we're going to be studying. And then we're going to let each one of you let us know what God showed you through that, as I'm kind of just facilitating it and leading it, but I still want participation. That's why I want you to read Matthew 15, 1 through 28. And it'll be in the back, same time, 11:30. You can bring your lunch if you want to bring a bag lunch, because you can eat before the Bible study actually starts. But anyway, that starts this Wednesday as well, 11:30.
Okay. Everybody's invited. All the ladies are invited, excuse me. Okay. Wednesday nights, we don't know yet. I'm not sure about that yet. Yeah. We can't show the video online. We can't show the video online because it's copyright. Okay, I want to introduce to you. I said last week I was going to begin a series this week, and someone said if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? So that's what I was planning, starting a new series called It's Finished. And then Monday I met with Barbara Martin after intercession, and she shared with me a word, a prophetic word that God has given her. And I listened with great delight, and I said, you need to speak that here. And she said she would. And so immediately I prayed. I said, God, is this something you want to do this Sunday? And to my surprise, he said, yes. So we are always at his service. So when he changes our plans, it's a good thing that we let him do that. And so today I want to present Barbara Martin to you. She's going to share a prophetic word, and we need to listen intently. Barbara has been a prophetic voice in our lives for 120 years, I think, right? It's about a long time. And several times she's gone against what the majority would say to tell us a word from the Lord that sometimes it wasn't something we wanted to hear, but later on it proved right spot on. So I listen, and God sends prophetic people into your life. You always judge prophecy. You always test things. And then the time will be a great revealer whether those things are from the Lord. And with Barbara, it has been. So she's been a great encourager and voice in our life. So I want to introduce to you, if you don't know her, she's a wonderful lady. We've known her for a long time, and we love Barbara, and we welcome her with great joy today to come and share the word of the Lord. Amen, Barbara.
Testing? Am I on? You know, I come here not as a speaker, as Pastor Gary says. I come as a prophet. Have you ever wondered what it takes to be a prophet? Or how I got to be a prophet? I would like to go a little bit into that. 120 years ago, when I came to the Lord, I had never read the Old Testament. I had never read the New Testament. I was an atheist. That doesn't mean I didn't go to church. I had gone to church, but it was not a church that ever taught out of the Bible. So I knew nothing about the Bible. So one day I came back from a service, and I was in my car, and out of the clear blue, I said out loud, Lord, I want to be a prophet. I assure you, I had no idea what a prophet was. Neither did I believe that they still have those. So there's no way on my own I could have asked that question to the Lord. And I was so embarrassed by that. I said, this is ridiculous. Why would I say such a thing? So I never told anyone about it. But two weeks later, the Lord sent me to the pastor of the church that I attended at that time, also 120 years ago. And I gave him a word. I said, I don't understand this word, but this is what the Lord tells me to tell you. Well, he asked me to apologize. I said, I'm sorry, I can't apologize because the Lord told me to do this. And over time, I've been thrown out of three churches. I have been persecuted over the last 45 years by pastors, by leaders. And so you would not want to be a prophet. And then came the time when I met Pastor Gary, and he was still at another church. And the Lord told me to go to him. I said, oh, no, no, no. I said, no, I just got kicked out of this church, remember? I don't want to do this again. I just want to sit in the pew, and I don't ever want to say anything else. And this is what the Lord said. He said, because you have faithfully gone for 30 years, this time I will send you again, but this time I will add no sorrow to it. And for the last 20 years, under Pastor Gary Washburn, he has always listened. He has never asked me to apologize, and he has always done what the Lord told him to do. Thank you, Pastor Gary. So you see, the Lord's word is faithful. I shall add no sorrow to it. And so, to be a prophet is something that you are led by the Lord. And by the way, in the 45 plus years that the Lord has given me words for churches or pastors or leaders, he has never been wrong. And that's what a prophet is. He cannot say something that is not so, because that means it is not from the Lord. And when they do, they are called false prophets. So be very careful. In the Old Testament, they used to stone prophets who prophesied something that did not come to pass. So when God tells me, thus saith the Lord, I know, thus saith the Lord. And he has never lied to me. He has never not performed what he said to do. So that is how I came to be a prophet. A prophet is somebody who is led by the Lord. Remember Pastor Gary said about two or three Sundays ago, would you let me lead you? The Lord asked him. Would you let him lead you? When you want to be a prophet, you better listen to the Lord and do what he says. And so, this is a word from the Lord today. And it is a very unusual word, but it's a very timely word. It's a word of warning, and it is a word of encouragement, and it is a word of repentance. That is what a real prophet does. And I know the Bible says, Apostle Paul says, I wish you would all prophesy. Well, there are those. That kind of prophecy means that you encourage one another. The Lord tells me to tell you I love you. But the office of a prophet is from the Lord. It says in Ephesians 11, the Lord has appointed prophets, what's the first one? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So the Lord appoints the office of prophet. So I want to make that difference very clear. Okay, all of you are to prophesy to one another with encouraging words. But the office of a prophet is usually one or two people in the church. And they're the ones who get stoned. They're the ones who get thrown out. So I don't think Pastor Gary will throw me out because he already heard the word. But it is a very timely word. It is a word for today's church, this church and the church. And I venture to say that there will be many other prophets like me. They will arise in this time, and they will say the same thing, because God is saying something very, very interesting. And let me share with you how this message came to pass. In the early months of 2020, I was sitting at home and I was praying for America. It was before the election. Personally, I knew I was going to vote for. There was no doubt. He was appointed by the Lord. And so I was very sure that Trump would be president. Very sure. And so the word of the Lord came to me, and it sounds like the Bible, doesn't it? But it did. And this is what he said. I want you to have put your eyes only on me. Do not look to the left and do not look to the right. Put your eyes on me. And then he said, do not listen to the prophets. That's all he said. Do not listen to the prophets. And the YouTube was full of prophets who came and told all this junk. But I didn't listen to it. All through that time, he said, stay off the medium. Stay off newspapers. Stay off television. Stay off YouTube. Do not listen to the word, but study my word. Look to me. Do not be influenced by the world. And so I did. A lot of people sent me articles, they sent me DVDs, and I discarded them all. I said, I'm sorry, I can't listen to it. The Lord says I can't. They said, why? I said, I have no idea. And I didn't. And so it went on. And I noticed in the church, divisions arose. One of them was for that party, the other one for that party. Then came the mask thing, remember? Whether to wear a mask or not to wear a mask. For me, it was a non-issue. By the way, do you know how I knew whether to get a shot or not? And I'll tell you. I said, Lord, I have no idea whether to get a shot or not. Frankly, it doesn't matter to me. What do you want me to do? I said, I will not sign up anywhere. I will not ask anybody, where can I get a shot? And this was during the time when you couldn't get one, okay? I said, Lord, if you want me to get a shot, then you have somebody, some organization, contact me and tell me they have shots available. Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, they did. The hospital in Leesburg emailed me, said, we have shots available. Would you come in? I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to get a shot. And I did. Does that mean everybody needs to get a shot? No, it doesn't, but the Lord wanted me to have one. You see, I look to the Lord. I don't look to the world. I don't look to the politicians. I don't look to anybody. I ask the Lord, and this is what he told me. And that may be just for me. But anyways, time went on. There were more and more divisions, wild theories of conspiracy theories of all kinds of ridiculous stuff going on. I lost my best friend over it. And a lot of people, some got a divorce. Others' friendship broke up. There was a terrible, terrible disunity, not just in the world, but in the church as well. And I did not get that from the media. I got that from being in church and talking to friends. And so I knew something bad was happening. 2 days before the election, and I was still sure Trump was going to win. I would have banked my life on that, okay? And the Lord, when I was in prayer in that same place, and he said, Donald Trump is not going to win. I said, holy cow. I wanted to say, Satan, get thee behind me, but I knew it was the Lord. So I couldn't say that. And I said, Lord, but why? Why? Everybody says he will be in there. Everybody says he'll have another 4 years. Why? And he told me why, and this is why I'm here today, to tell you why. And this is what God said very clearly. He said, because my people who are called by my name, and those are Christians with Christ in the name, my people have turned away from me. And they have put a man as an idol on a pedestal. And they have looked to him to save America. And the Lord says, no man can save America. No man ever will, but they have turned away. My people. I said, oh my God, I am so sorry. And it was very strong. And then he continued and he said, because they have done that, I have given Satan the right to steal the election. This was 2 days before the election. God gave Satan the right to steal the election. God never blamed Trump. He never blamed the Democrats. He never blamed the Republicans either. He blamed you and me. Think about that. Look at Israel when they turned away to idols. Look what happened to Israel. And God says, that is what is going to happen to America. Dark days are coming. Days that we have never gone through. Days of fear, of famine, of pestilence. Does it sound familiar? Of disunity, of violence. Those are the things that come in when a people turns away from God. So do not look to anyone else. The Lord wants us to look to ourselves of what we have done. And you know, when there's a prophecy, when God gives a word, he always ends up with something positive. And this is what he continued to say to me. He said, but out of the darkness, and there will be tremendous darkness, he said, out of that darkness, when repentance has come to the church, when the church has wakes up and sees what it has done, and they will repent, then I will hear from heaven, and I will bring a revival like you have never seen. Out of the darkness, he will bring revival. And then he said, I am not near as interested in the kingdom of Washington as I am in the kingdom of God. In the days to come, do not look to the media. Do not look to the politicians. Think about it. We have two men. One is president, the other one is ex-president. The president is totally impaired, okay? Everybody says he doesn't run the White House. The other president is a total narcissist. He credits himself for saving America. Those are the two choices we have. And then there's Jesus. Which one of those would you like? Okay. And for that, we have to repent. Because all of us, I don't think there is an exception to it, all of us looked to either one, either Trump or Biden, to save America. And look where America is, on the brink of total disaster. That is what happened when we turn away from God. We sang very nice songs today, but do we really trust God enough to give us the victory? Do you really trust Jesus more than any president to save America? Amen. Will you turn away from politics, shut the TV off, and get this book? And this is what I want to read to you, and it's a very familiar verse, and it's in 2 Chronicles, and I start at chapter 7, I start at verse 13. And listen to the words. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilences among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now this is for this church. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name will be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. This is for our church. There are days coming, and they're very soon, that the Lord will descend upon this church and the Holy Spirit will come. And he will do miraculous things. We were talking about miracles. We will see signs, miracles, and wonders if we will turn. You know, the strange thing is in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, it says, God never does anything unless he tells the prophets first. Well, the prophets are going to tell you. And before we go into anything else, let me share with you about prophets again. How many of you listened to all those prophets who told you what you wanted to hear? Dozens of them. They were all over the internet. I had a dream. The Lord showed me. And one lady told me that the Lord showed this prophet that Trump would make everybody rich. I mean, does that sound like God to you? But that is what the prophet said. Oh, yes, Trump will get in. And everything will be wonderful, and America will be great. Well, guess what? The exact opposite happens. So those were false prophets. And let me go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4. And this is what it says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, and this is for the future. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. And in 21 it says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, Then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. God is saying that all those who listened to those false prophets and how easily the church was misled. Do you realize how easy that was? It was like falling off a log. Satan came in and everybody listened to the false prophets. It's amazing. That's it. And I tell you one thing, if God had not told me not to take my eyes off of him, I would have believed them because I wanted to. We wanted to hear the good stuff. We did not want to trust the Lord. And so God, I don't know why he told me, but he did. And in the future, there will become many prophets again, but not near as many as the last time, because these prophets will call the church to repentance. And if the church does not listen, none of the promises that God makes will come to pass. There will be no revival. Even for this church, there will be nothing like that. So God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And he will not tolerate. I will have no other gods before me, he said. And he still means it today. There's no way that we can put up the next politician that comes along, that we can look to Washington. Let's face it, even the dumbest idiot realizes that Washington, no matter what party, is not going to get us out of this mess, are they? I mean, how much does it take for God to rub our noses in it before we wake up and say, please, Lord, you are the only one who can bring us out of this. The only one. And put up Revelations, 3:19. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Zealous. Repent zealously. You know what that means? With all your heart, with all your mind. Say, Lord, humble ourselves so that you can come. The next time when the dark days come, and they are going to come, ladies and gentlemen, they will. You think it's bad now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because God uses chastisement because he loves his people. He does not condemn the church, but he puts them to the woodshed. And when the church people see that nothing else works, then maybe we'll turn. And you might think, well, you know, I didn't do those things. You know, I don't need to repent. I have news for you. This is a flashpoint news. How many of you trust your bank account? How many of you trust your nice house, your good friends, your style of living, the entertainment that you have day and night in the villages? What would you do if all of it stopped? It would rattle you, wouldn't it? Those are your idols. Those are your idols. Everyone has them. Oh, I can't go to church. I want to play golf. Guess what? You've just made golf your idol. God says, I will have no other gods before me. He doesn't take second place. So every single one of you has an idol that I have no idea what it is, but you do, and God does. So would you like to be closer to the Lord? Would you like to be led by him? Okay, what if you heard something real crazy the Lord tells you? Would you do it? Aha, one voice I heard. How about the rest of you? You see, we all want to hear from God, don't we? Oh, I never hear from God. I wonder why. Because you wouldn't listen if he blew a trumpet at you. Because it doesn't fit into your lifestyle. Isn't that a shame? Well, I can't go to church on Wednesday nights, you know. I have bingo night. There's nothing wrong with bingo. But it's not just going to church. It's in your heart. There is in America, the church is asleep. The church is spoiled. If we don't have air conditioning, if the music isn't just right, we go somewhere else. If we don't like what the pastor says, we go somewhere else. This is a family. This is not a club that you can join and then go somewhere else. This is a family. Through thick and thin, you are a family. You don't have the choice to run off somewhere else and find a better family. What kind of a thing is that to do? And yet that's what people do. So if you go from, thank you, if you go from church to church, I have big news for you. You're a schlep. Have the gumption to stand there and say, okay, I don't like what the pastor said. Guess what? You go talk to him. Amen. You don't just talk behind his back. How many of you have the courage to go to him? Well, there are a few. And how many gossip about him behind his back? Oh, I don't see any hands. Well, the Lord will show you that too. But you see, it's not just the pastor. How many of us have an ought against each other? This is a family. Nobody says you can't ever fight. Be angry, but sin not. It's that simple. It doesn't mean you can't get angry at me or you or whoever. You can. Just don't stay there. Pass the night, okay? Pass the evening. You got to straighten it out. You see, God, to follow God is pretty simple. He doesn't want your talents. He doesn't want your riches. He doesn't want anything from you. The older I get, and I'm pretty old, I will be 78 in November. The older I get, you know what real wisdom is? The more I know that I don't know anything without the Lord. Yes, and I love it. And I would like to tell you a story that happened years ago when I accepted the Lord. There was this Methodist lady who led me to the Lord. I couldn't stand her. I was an atheist. And so, you know, she asked me, and I was dying of cancer. I had breast cancer, and I had 2 years to live. I was bitter. I was angry. I said, you know, I just want to run off and go to bars and live it up, and that's what I wanted to do. That was my recipe for having cancer. Instead, I went to this convent in Tampa, and I hated nuns too. There wasn't hardly anybody I didn't hate. So, you know, they prayed to this weird Jesus, and I said, oh my gosh. And so when this Methodist lady asked me, said, what's the most important thing in your life? You're not going to believe what I said. Since I was dying, I said, my brains and my education. Nobody can take that away. And I had very little of either one. But to me, it was nice. You know, nobody knew how stupid I really was. So she said, would you give that to the Lord? And I said, well, I don't know. And then I looked at her, and something happened. I said, I want what you have. I don't care what it is, but I want what you have. I don't even know what it is. I just want what you have, and I will be stupid from then on. And I truly believed I could only say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And to me, that's not a good thing. I mean, I have my opinions, you know, but that is what I believed. And she led me to the Lord. And about 6 months ago, when I teach or when I do anything for the Lord, I never prepare. I just go. And the Holy Spirit gives me the words, and he's never failed. So about 6 months ago, I said, Lord, this isn't fair. You know, everybody else makes reams of notes and outlines, and you won't let me do it. I try to do it, and I draw a blank. Nothing will come to me. I said, okay, I'll just go. I said, why do you make me go anywhere and I feel so stupid? And the Lord said, well, you gave me the right to do it, didn't you? Took me 40 years to figure it out. 40 years. You know, sometimes it just, that's how smart I really was. It took 40 years to get something. So, but you see how exciting it is to be stupid for the Lord. And this is what he has done. He's made me a prophet. He's made me a teacher. And I don't prepare for any of those things. And he does great. I love it. Somebody said, oh, you sacrifice so much. I said, what do you mean? If that's sacrifice, it's easy. I don't do anything. I just go and talk. I said, how nice is that? Except when I go as a prophet, I get beat up. So I like the teacher much better. They don't beat up on me. But you see, this is what God does when you declare yourself stupid. When you say, Lord, I don't understand any of this. I don't see how you can save America. You know, we got to do this politics stuff and all of that. I don't know how you can do it without all that. Well, relax. He can. Because he's not interested in America, in Washington, in politics. He is only interested that you and you and you are the light on the shining hill. What difference does it make if you're Republican or Democrat in eternity? It's worthless junk. Does that mean you can't pray for America? No, it doesn't. You pray for America. But see, this whole thing is a spiritual war. It's not a political war. It's spiritual. It is the enemy pitted against Jesus. And he has used all of us in a nasty way. And it's enough. And the Lord says, no more. Will you repent? And if you won't. But it's not going to happen. Because the Lord says, his church will not be overcome by Satan. And therefore, this church will be a shining light. A shining light into this community. Like somebody said the other, an island. Where they will come, because the world out there will get so bad that they will come. And will you be ready? Will you be ready to minister to them? And I guarantee you, God wants this church to be ready. And you can't do it sitting in the pews. You can't do it just sitting there. And that's another thing God says. Do not ask to be blessed when you come to church, but ask to be a blessing. And there's a big difference of that. He's tired of all these people. Oh, I'm so blessed. Well, that's good. What did you do? Were you a blessing? I pray every Sunday before on the way to the church. I say, Lord, allow me to be a blessing today. I never once prayed to be blessed. And you know when you are a blessing? Oh, my gosh, the blessings come back 100-fold. You don't have to pray, oh, please, Lord, bless me. You're not here to be blessed. You're here in the kingdom of God. You're the warriors, the shining warriors in the kingdom of God. Not just church people who sit there and are sound asleep and judge if the pastor said the right word or not. It's disgusting to God. That is not what Christianity is about. We are warriors in the kingdom. We're warriors. We're not this whining little, oh, please God bless me. That's disgusting to the Lord. And how many of you will stand up, say, Lord, I'm tired of being a schlep, for a better word. God wants people who say, here I am, send me. Would you go when God says to go? Would you start a ministry when God says to do it? You say, but I don't know how. I said, that's a good thing. God does. If he tells you to do something, you don't have to know how to do it. He will show you how to do it. Stop relying on yourself. Stop relying on politics. Stop relying on everybody else. And most of all, stop whining how bad things are. They're going to get a lot worse. I would like, and the Lord would like to hear you rejoicing in the times of trouble. Rejoice, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also repent. And that brings me to the repentant part. Will you repent? Will all of you repent? Because it depends on that. Remember last Sunday, the Lord says the doors will fling wide open. Well, without repentance, they won't do any flinging, trust me. But the Lord wants to come in a mighty way to this church. And years ago, he told me, he said, there shall be a brand new church in the middle of a field, and it shall be for the glory of God. And that hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. It's imminent. I can feel it. I know many of you can feel it. We are on a breakthrough. We are on a breakthrough. And don't miss it. Don't sit there. And let's be jubilant, and let's know that God is in control. Not Washington, not us, not the pastor, not anybody, but God is. And Michelle is going to lead us into a triumphant song that the Lord gave me at 6 o'clock in the morning. I woke up out of a deep sleep. He said, that's what he wants to play at the end of the service. And I want you, I don't care if you're not used to it or whatever, shout, dance, clap, just go crazy, all right? Okay, Michelle, are you ready? Listen to the words, they're wonderful. They're a battle cry. And after that, we're going to repent. Oh, wait, we're supposed to repent before that. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, see, will the real Barbara Martin please stand up? See, that's when the Lord has to remind me. Are you ready to repent? I'm going to lead you in prayer. And every word I say, please, if you want to kneel, if you want to stand, doesn't matter. Father God, we humble ourselves. And we are sorry for having been idolaters. Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive our sins. Lord, we are all guilty. Lord, you're a merciful God. And Lord, just let your forgiving spirit just go over this auditorium. And Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to be the warriors you want us to be. Help us to be the shining light you want us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But most of all, help us to see that without you, we are nothing. But with you, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Now, Michelle, let her rip.
Salvation comes. like Jehovah. There's no God 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 like Jehovah.
If you're able, please rise. Barbara has asked me to sing the Aaronic benediction for us to close the service today. This is from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And the Lord God said to Aaron, the first high priest, "When you pray over my people, pray like this. Yivareke Adonai v'yismareka Ya'ir Adonai panavaleka v'ikuneka Yisa Adonai panavaleka Ve'asim laka shalom b'shem ha'adon Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, that is, smile on you, and always have his face looking toward you. And may he give you his peace, the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah, amen.
Amen.